today. And again, God is so good, isn't He?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I do want to continue to with you today questions that God has asked of men. Today will be our last question. And it's an important question. All of them have been important to us. And if you remember, we started with Adam and Eve in the garden, and the first question that God asked of men and or of mankind was, "Where are you?" You know, they were hiding. Where are you? And that's the same question God has for all of us even today. All of these questions still pertain to us today. One of the other questions that we looked at, Cain and Abel, and Cain having such a hard time doing what God wanted him to do, and God's question to him was, "Why are you so angry? Haven't I told you what you can do to be accepted?" You know, and the world still acts that way. God's given us His Word, and the world is running amok with anger at God because they just won't accept them for who they demand that they can be. Well, yes, they can be whoever they want to be. That doesn't mean God's going to accept it. God doesn't change. He's told us in His Scripture, "I do not change." And so these questions are important for us. Another question, "Who do you say that I am?" That was the one that Jesus asked His disciples when people were talking about who He was. "Who do you say that I am?" That's important for all of us who know Jesus. "Who are you?" He said, "Do you think that I came to bring peace?" What an important question that is for us. He said to them, as He was teaching and they were giving Him such a hard time, "Why don't you understand me?" Why don't we understand? Last week, the question was, "Do you not know me?" And the question preceding that, "Why don't you understand me?" Jesus was speaking to a crowd of people who were not His disciples. And they didn't understand. They saw the works, but they just couldn't accept. They couldn't receive the truth of what they were seeing. And then to His disciples, when He told them He was going away, and Philip said, "Well, show us the Father, and that'll be sufficient." And so He said to Philip, "Do you not know me?" You know, to one group that didn't, "Why don't you understand me?" And then to those that did know Him, "Don't you know me by now?" And isn't that a hard question for us who are supposed to know Jesus? "Don't you know me?" Well, this morning I have another question. And we'll begin reading in John chapter 21. If you will, please stand with me in honor of God's Word this morning. John chapter 21, beginning in verse number 15. "And so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' And then He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him again, 'Tend my sheep.' And then He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' And Peter was grieved because He said to him that third time, 'Do you love me?' And He said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' And Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.'" Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for grace and for mercy upon us. I thank you that we have heard your call to repentance and profession, to faith, to walk in trust and obedience. Lord, that we have heard you speaking to us. Father, forgive us where we have failed you. Strengthen us for the battle still before us. And in this time, I pray, grow us and teach us. We ask it to your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be seated, please. Do you love me? We use this question a lot in our life with friends and family all the time. Spouse, one to another, do you love me? I tell my wife all the time, do you love me? You sure aren't acting like you love me today. I don't have any fried chicken. I don't have any catfish head biscuits. I don't have any grits and cheese. You know, you must not love me. Yeah. Well, if she gave me mullet, I'd know she didn't love me. How wonderful it is, though, when we can have family and friends that we do love and we know loves us. But that question still comes up from time to time. Do you love me? And it's an important question because it helps keep us on bearing, on track with where we're wanting to be in life, with our joy in life. And I know I've shared this over the years here. There was a study that was done where a group of children were asked to define love, and they gave some wonderful answers. Isn't it a wonderful thing to hear children give their answer to questions like this? What does love mean to you? You know you're going to hear some good stuff, don't you? One of the children said, love is when your puppy licks your face even after you left him all day. Well, my favorite is, love is when mommy gives daddy the breast, the chicken breast, and it's the last piece. I love that. Isn't that great? You hear that, Jane? But there's one, though, that really touches my heart, and this came from a young boy who lived in a neighborhood, and he had neighbors all around, and there was a senior couple that lived in the neighborhood across the road or next to them, I'm not sure, but the lady passed away. And so the man was sitting on his porch just crying. And he had talked to that boy numerous times, and the boy saw him crying. So he just went over to his yard and sat down with him on his front porch. And so he was asked, well, what did you say to him? And he said, I didn't say anything. I just cried with him. Amen. Isn't that love? Isn't that love? Sometimes you can't say what it is. You just have to show what it is. It's important for us, though, when we hear these words from Jesus to Peter, do you love me? Those words are important for all of us. Do you love me? Let me try to define love. Love is being willing to have your life complicated by the needs and the struggles of others without impatience or anger. That's really what love is, isn't it? Isn't that the kind of love that Christ gives us every day in our life? He loves us without impatience and without anger. He loves us. And when we think about Him, we should certainly realize how much love He has earned from all of us, how much He deserves our love and our praise, our testimony to be alive in words and in deeds. But so many times they're not. Peter's the great example in that, isn't he? And isn't it wonderful that this is the conversation that's taken place with Peter? There are so many things that we can learn from this. Peter and a group of the disciples had gone out into the boat. They were all together. They had gone out in the boat. They were fishing overnight, and they hadn't caught a thing. Hadn't caught a thing. So they were fishing. They weren't catching. There's a difference, right? Some people just like to go catch. But some of us like to fish. We can be out on the water. We can enjoy that time out there. Even though there's work involved, sometimes it's just a wonderful thing to be fishing, isn't it? They'd been out all night. They hadn't caught a thing. And as the day was breaking, Jesus standing on the beach, and he called out to the group, and he says, "Hey, how many do you have? We don't have anything." He said, "Well, throw the net over on this side of the boat, and you'll get some fish." And they caught more fish than they could possibly even have hoped to. And they gave the number in the preceding verses, 153. And even though there were so many, the net did not burst as they were dragging it to the beach. John said, "It's the Lord." Peter, he threw on his cloak, jumped in the water, and swam to the beach to be with the Lord. And nobody asked who he was. They all knew. They knew who he was, and he had a fire going. He had some coals lit up, getting hot, and some bread and a couple of fish. But he said, "Hey, bring a few more of those fish that you got. Bring them on over, guys. Let's sit down." I would love to sit down around a campfire with Jesus, wouldn't you? Sit around the fire with Jesus. I mean, I've had a lot of fun sitting around a fire in my younger days. I haven't done that in a long time, but you know, it was fun. Sometimes we even roasted marshmallows. Burn them up black. Just peeled it away and ate what was left, right? Had a lot of fun sitting around the campfire. And here is Jesus and his disciples. And after they had finished the meal, Jesus asked Peter this question. "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" You know, this is important that he said it this way. Do you love me more than these? Now think about it. Friends sitting around the campfire, everybody's having a good conversation. There's nobody fussing at anybody, nobody yelling at anybody. It's a wonderful time. It's fun. And when you have fun, you have compassion, and it shows in the conversation and in the smiles and in the laughter. You see the compassionate love that is being shared. And that's the kind of compassionate love that Jesus is asking Peter. Are you willing to demonstrate publicly for me? It's easy to do when we are in the presence of Christ, but when we leave the crowd and we enter into the den of the wolves, are we still willing to love Jesus publicly? See, sitting there at the fire with all the guys, it's easy to be in unity. But when you're separated and sometimes find yourself on your own and you have to stand on your faith and trust and obey Jesus on your own, and there's wolves all around you, are you still loving Jesus? Are you loving yourself more in the moment? I wonder, when Jesus said, "Do you love me more than these?" did Peter's mind drift back to that night that he betrayed Christ? You remember that night? All alone, surrounded by the wolves. Mockery of a trial taking place, and Jesus being mocked and beat and spitting on, and him in the crowd. And one of them says, "Look, there, he's one of them." And Peter said, "No, not me." Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? "Oh, no, he is one. I saw him with them." "Oh, no, you're mistaken. It's not me." And a third time they said, "I know he is one of them." And Peter cursed and denied his Jesus before the crowd. "Peter, do you love me?" He says to him, "More than these. Are you willing to love me publicly, compassionately, in public, when these are not around you?" Because I want to remind you, Peter had proudly proclaimed a few things. Y'all remember Peter? Loved to stick his foot in his mouth? How many of you remember Peter? Loved to stick his foot in his mouth. Brag about what he would do If you don't, let me remind you. In John 13, Peter said to him, Jesus, he said, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. In Luke chapter 22, but he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. In Matthew 26, Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. I will never be made to stumble. Not because of you, Lord. And they're sitting at the fire. And Jesus starts up the conversation. Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me? Paul gives us some very wise words in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he falls. Peter fell, didn't he? Peter betrayed Jesus, didn't he? Christ never betrayed Peter. He never outcast him. He never walked away from him. In fact, he's in the process of restoring him now in such a wonderful way. But do you see, restoration happens when we confront that sin in our life? Sometimes saying I'm sorry is just not enough. How many of us have learned that? Sometimes the conviction of the Holy Spirit means we have to deal with it, even in tears. Sometimes we have to get to a point in our life where we feel that we are absolutely broken before we can begin to heal. Jesus is doing this with Peter. We see this in the conversation. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. You know I love you. How many of us would have said, well, I sure didn't see it on that night when you were out there with that crowd? It'd be easy to bring that up, wouldn't it? But Jesus doesn't do that. He knows that the memory we carry ourselves is more than enough to weigh us down. He's not trying to crush us. He's trying to break us and restore us. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you. He asked him the second time. And I want you to see this because it's important. Verse number 16. Jesus said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Do you see what the difference between the two questions are? What it is? The first question, he said to Peter, do you love me more than these? Can you love me outside of the unity you find in this group? We all get along, but can you love me outside this unity? Can you love me on your own? Can you love me standing out there among the lions and the wolves? Can you love me when it matters? When you're standing all alone, do you love me? And then he just brings it home with the second question. He didn't say, do you love me more than these? He just flat out said, do you love me? Alone. Not in comparison with anything else, but you. Your heart. Is your heart given to me? Is your heart broken because of me? Is your heart willing to serve me? Are you with me, Peter? Are you with me? Church, are you with God? Do you love Jesus? Or do you love the world? Are you standing with Him even when the lions and the wolves are growling and barking and clawing? Are you standing in the strength of your love, of your faith, and in your obedience to Jesus Christ? It makes a difference. We can sound good and look good and sing good and preach good, and we can teach good Sunday school here. But when we're not here, Do we love Jesus? This is a hard question, isn't it? I imagine Peter was really struggling. All that he had going through his mind, the memories of all that he said, even cursing his Lord. And here he is now sitting with him, and Jesus said, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" You know what he's saying to Peter? Apart from the crowd, "Peter, do you love me enough to walk with me when you're all alone? Do you love me enough to laugh with me when you're all alone?" And don't worry about people seeing you laugh. You know, when you see somebody laugh, you started laughing. You didn't even know what they were laughing about. I've done that in the past. How about you? See somebody just laughing. I can't help it. I'm like, "Oh, that must be funny. It must be about me." And you just start laughing. This is what Christ is asking us when we're alone. Can we walk with Him and love Him when we are alone? Can we walk with Him and laugh with Him when we are alone? More than that, too. Can we walk with Him and share in our sorrow when we're alone? There's a lot involved with our relationship between me and Jesus. There's a lot involved. It's not just on my terms. It's my life. All of it. I can't shut the door and pretend like He's not there. That He doesn't know. That He doesn't see. He told Peter before the night ever came to pass He was going to do this. He knows. He sees. He understands the hearts of mankind. And we can't hide it from Him. Not from Jesus. So if we're going to have that time, being alone probably is the best time to have it, isn't it? With Jesus. How many of us have things in our lives we don't want nobody to know about? I don't care how far back it is. God's forgotten it and forgave it, but the world doesn't forget. The enemy does not forget. The enemy comes to us every day and says to us, "You dirty, rotten, filthy scoundrel." By the way, you are. "How can you believe Jesus still loves you?" By the way, He does. It was because of who we were and who we have been and who we are still going to be like when we have those failures in our life that He comes to us. That is why He came to save us. Not because we could make ourselves perfect, but we could only be made perfect in Him. And the enemy takes one of the greatest truths of God, that He loves us and He gives Himself for us, and he turns it into a lie. "Well, you failed Him now. He can't love you anymore." And that's not what Jesus is teaching us with Peter in this moment. "Peter, do you love me?" He is crying out for Peter to find restoration. He cries out to us to find restoration. And if we don't repent of our sins, we can't be forgiven of sins. God doesn't just wave a magic wand and say, "You're forgiven." How many of you read in Corinthians, Paul says, we will all give an account for the things we have done. What we have built on that foundation that is Jesus Christ. The foundation is Jesus and there is no other. And we can build with wood, hay, and stubble, or we can build with gold, silver, and precious stones. And whatever we build with wood, hay, and stubble, when we stand and give an account, that's going to be burnt away. And I want you to hear these words. These aren't my words. Paul writes it quite plainly. He says, "You will suffer loss." You'll feel the pain of what it is that is being burned away. But you didn't lose your salvation. He says, "Yet you are still saved as through the fire, purified." But why build with wood, hay, and stubble if you're going to have to suffer for that? And suffering may look like a lot of things, but one thing I know that it will involve is the weight of guilt. And Peter's feeling it. Lord, you know I love you. You know it. So Jesus took that and said, okay, well, let's go through this one more time then. Peter, do you love me? And the scripture says Peter was grieved. Peter was grieved. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and you were telling them the God's honest truth and they looked at you and said, I don't believe you? You ever had anybody do that to you? That hurts, doesn't it? Especially when it's someone close. I don't believe you. Peter is probably feeling this in this moment. That third time he said, Peter, do you love me? And he was grieved. He was grieved. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep. You know what Jesus didn't do in all of these? All three of these questions. Jesus gave a mission to Peter. But he never gave Peter instruction to prove in any way, not in writing or anything else, in that moment, that he did love him. He just said, do you love me? Lord, you know I do. Then feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I do. Tend my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Lord, I've told you. Then feed my sheep. And there's a progression of things that are taking place. But part of the conversation, too, you need to understand is this. There's a difference in our language in understanding what the word love means between the word that is written in the original languages. And so when Jesus first asked Peter, do you love me? There's a word that's being used, and that word is agapaho. And Peter responds, Lord, you know I do love you, but he uses a different word, and that word is phileo. And you say, well, what difference does that make? They're spelled different. That's the first thing, right? But you see, in that language, they had different levels of tense and meaning for words that we don't always carry over in the English language. And so Jesus asked Peter the first two questions. Do you love me? Do you love me? He's saying, do you have compassionate love for me? Do you have compassionate love for me? Can you show your love for me publicly? Can you be socially and morally true to me? Do you have compassion for me, Peter? And Peter kept saying, well, you know I am your friend. See, this is the difference in Peter's response. That word phileo, it's a different level of understanding, a different love than what Jesus is asking for. Peter says, Lord, you know I'm your friend. Peter, do you compassionately love me? Lord, you know I'm your friend. Okay, this is a good sign, though, because Peter has begun to understand you don't want to overload yourself with your mouth. Amen? Jesus asked him that second time the same question. Do you love me? Do you have compassion for me? And Peter said, you know I'm your friend. You know what's amazing in this third question? Jesus says, do you love me? He changed the question this time. Jesus uses the same word that Peter has been using, phileo. So in other words, Jesus is no longer saying, do you have compassion for me? He said to Peter with the third question, Peter, are you my friend? And that's what grieved him the most. Lord, you know I'm your friend. You know, I ask you, church, do you love Jesus? That's one thing. But let me ask you this. Are you a friend to Jesus? Because that's different. It's different. The relationship, the intensity involved, it's different. We should have a compassionate friendship with Jesus, willing to stand among the lions and the wolves, and to rejoice when together. Do you love me? That question means a lot, especially when it's God asking His creation if we love Him, if we can even just be His friend. And that's what He's asking of us, to love Him, to be His friend, but not just His, the Father and our neighbor. What's the greatest commandment of all? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all of your being. But the second is like it, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's a hard walk. And sometimes when we're standing in that crowd, it's hard to stand apart from the crowd. But God has called us to be that, to do that, to speak that way, to live that way. And I challenge you today with the very words that He asked Peter. Do you love Jesus? Will you be His friend? One last verse, because you need to think about your answer to the question. Acts chapter 20, we find this. Therefore take heed to yourself and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Take heed to yourself. All of us, whether you stand in the pulpit and preach, whether you stand at a book in a Sunday school class and teach, whether you are a deacon, whether you are a faithful believer, sharing a testimony, take heed that it's the truth in Jesus Christ that you share. Because that's what God is telling Peter when He says, feed my lambs. He says, grow the young ones in my truth. That's what He says to Peter when He says, tend my sheep. He says, make sure you keep the boundaries outlined so they can see. Teach them and grow them all. And then finally He said, feed my sheep. And He's talking to us who are supposed to be more mature. Eating meat along with the milk. We have got to make sure we are providing the fullness that people need so they can be what God calls them to be. But first you have to walk in faith. That begins with repentance. And there's none under that we can repent to except Jesus. No other name given under heaven by which we must be saved than Jesus Christ alone. And if you know Him as Lord and Savior and you're having a moment like Peter, amen. Get it resolved. Be restored through repentance and find the joy of your salvation again. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you'll never have that joy. You might have a moment, an emotional moment where you see the joy in somebody else and you're so happy about it and you feel like it's yours. It's not yours without repentance. And it never will be. It's just a memory. Just a memory. And when the names are called in that final day, it won't be memories that are called. It'll be the names that are written in the book of life. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Have you repented of sin? Have you given your commitment? Do you love Him? Will you be His friend? The altar is open. Will you come while there's time? Father, I thank You so much for this day. I thank You for Your words that teach us and strengthen us. I thank You for Your Holy Spirit to convict us of its truth and to guide us in a world that so easily leads us astray. And Father, I pray when Your Spirit is convicting us, help us to hear it and to feel that and to repent where repentance is needed. Father, restore us, I pray. Help us and strengthen us. And I pray, be glorified in our life. We ask it to Your glory alone, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Will you come while the altar is open?